One of the things that you typically do at this event is pull out the long lens and look at the future. And there are a lot of things happening tied to Bayer and the advocacy forum and the whole bit. So let's just get started.
Yeah, Cindy, it's important to do that. You know, oftentimes I get the question from farmers, how do you operate when you're dealing with tough economic times? And I say, you know, probably not a whole lot differently than you in that we have to tighten our belt too. Nevertheless, we have a long-term strategy, and we have to look way out over the hood of the car and think about what trends are going to shape this business and how do we invest such that we can meet the needs of those trends and how do we prepare ourselves for the implications of those trends. And for this forum, and I think for many around agriculture, it's easy for us to look at 2017, and say, you know, times are tight. Should we cut this out? We don't take that approach. We're actually looking for what's it going to look like in 2030. So we have to be cognizant of the fact that challenges exist in our business, but we can't take our eye off the long-term prize, and we have to continue to invest in innovation and long-term business development. We're not going to enable the farmers to feed 10 billion people by 2050.
Part of that moving forward is a change in company structure.
Yeah. So about a year ago, we announced the intent to, actually in May of last year, we announced the intent to. We reached a formal agreement to purchase Monsanto in September. We're obviously now going through that approval process, both here and abroad, where we have submitted information to the regulatory authorities, and we're going through that. We anticipate still, and this is probably what matters most, Cindy, is we anticipate closing by year end.
Okay. Farmers have a lot of questions. Some of them love the idea. Some of them hate the idea. It's probably somewhere in the middle for most. Allaying some of the fears, what are the benefits of this Bayer Monsanto business?
Well, I think the first benefit really is about the spirit of what we're trying to accomplish, and that is bringing together complementary capabilities. Monsanto, no doubt, has been quite successful with biology, with biotechnology, and they're building a data platform. Conversely, we're very successful in crop chemistry. So if you can bring those capabilities together and speed to market better solutions to enable farmers either to fight some of the challenges they have, like weed resistance, or simply produce a larger crop more economically, then you know, we're probably doing them good. And that's what this is all about. So complementary capabilities, complementary geographically, but then it's really about spurring innovation to help farmers do what they do. So I'm pretty confident we have the capacity of doing that. And I believe, you know, most of the people I've spoken with, once they understand the logic, once they understand why we think this is a good idea, they tend to share that view with us.
Now, you said that the view doesn't change when there are hiccups in the economy. Let's talk about investment in research and development in what might be coming down the pipeline.
You bet. So, you know, as most people probably don't know, we're investing about $1.1 billion annually in ag research globally. And it seems like an awful lot of money, and it is. But if you compare that to other industries, that would suggest that you know, we're probably not doing enough. And that, Cindy, actually bridges me back to why a Bayer Monsanto combination. Scale matters, and being able to withstand the regulatory environment globally and some disappointments matters. And being able to have the scale to have the fortright to not stop in the event that, you know, we face some challenge or opposition, or we simply don't come up with anything, that'd be a problem for American farmers. So, you know, I think that's a pretty important table setter for why Bayer and Monsanto should come together. Now, what's in our pipeline? Was your question. Probably the best kept secret in American agriculture is a product that was introduced a year ago called Olivo. So it's not pipeline, it's not future, but it's today. And I mentioned that, Cindy, because it's only on, you know, a small percentage of the soybean acres. And for those of your customers out there, for your listeners that have struggled controlling nematodes and sudden death syndrome, this is the one of a kind. There's nothing else like it. It's a seed treatment. It controls those pests. And sudden death syndrome, for those of you that have had it, you know it. It's a bad, bad thing. This controls it. So look for Olivo. Poncho Votivo 2.0, another new product in the pipeline. It's advancing through our internal pipeline, and that should be available pending approvals in 2018. And this will take seed treatment protection on corn to another great level. Then we have some new combination herbicides coming out. Corvus Complete in 2018. We've got new fungicides in the 2018 to 2022 range. So the activities is pretty large, is what I would suggest. Looking forward to bringing new tools to farmers.
Research, science, innovation, that is looking through that long lens. That's one thing that you're very interested and excited about. But the other one deals with the theme of this conference, and that's advocating advocacy.
Yeah, say that five times fast, Cindy.
No.
Yeah, advocacy really is something that we created, as you well know, 2 years ago. And since that time, we've had the pleasure of training 1,000 farmers and pledging another 10,000 to really stand up and raise their proud, positive voice on the benefits of modern agriculture. You know, simply put, there's nobody that I know that operates in a more sustainable way than an American farmer. They want nothing more than to pass down their land to the next generation. They want nothing more than to treat their soil in the most respectful way. But we're not telling that story. So advocacy is about telling our story, telling our proud, positive story about agriculture and talking about the great things that we're doing and really trying to bridge the divide of the 2%, 98%. So only 2% of the population is somehow involved in American agriculture. And, you know, as you think back just a few years, so when my grandfather was on the farm, it was 40%. So what's that mean? There's a lot of misinformation. With misinformation comes mistrust. We've got a lot to do to tell our story and to get it told in the most effective way. The other thing I would say, Cindy, is we've done some research on this, and the most trusted voice relative to where and how food is grown is the American farmer. So advocacy really is about engaging them. It's about activating their voice, and it's about really helping them be more confident in engaging in the dialogue with folks that may not know.
Well, we've talked about long lens. In the short term, 2017, what are you really, really excited about? What really gets you buzzed up?
Well, I'm really excited about this combination that we're working on, you know, Bayer's acquisition of Monsanto. I think that's a big deal that can really help the American farmer. You know, I think the other thing is really being connected to the challenges that our farmer customers face. It shouldn't ever get outside of our team's thoughts that they're really trying to figure out how to get by. We have to help them get by. And we have to help them understand that an investment in a product that we would sell would deliver them a return on their investment. So those are really the two main things that I have in my short-term view is how do we help the farmer both today and how do we help the farmer tomorrow with innovation with the Bayer Monsanto acquisition.